Grouping here, we'll go ahead and get started. Lijing is going to go ahead and record the meeting if there's no objections. Farheen is out for a couple of weeks, so Lijing's volunteered to take care of the minutes for this meeting. And we'll go ahead and get started. We'll do roll call. Jack Murray from AT&T is here. Jinri, are you here? Okay, I don't see Jinri. David?
Yeah, I'm here.
Greetings. Tashira-san? No, Vincent?
I'm here.
And then Viswa.
Yeah, I am here.
Very good. So let me log in here 1 second. So let me get my turn the edit on here. Let me go ahead and okay. All right, Lijing, you're taking care of it. Good. All right, so we have four out of the six, so we have quorum. So we'll go ahead and address a few items around minutes. Last week, many members were traveling because of the ORAN event, but we still had our regular Wednesday meeting for those who were available to join. We did not have a quorum to vote, so we did not take any voting actions. So we have two weeks of Wednesday meetings to approve today. And then Jinri has to add the minutes for the Tokyo meetings. We had two TOC sessions as part of that. Jinri was recording and taking the minutes. We'll have to get them here as well, but let's address these. So the first one is the 6:12 minutes. So if you look under 6:12, you'll see the action items, the comments. That would have been 2 weeks ago. Any questions or changes to the 6:12 minutes? All right, then I'll ask for someone, I'll make a motion to accept the 6:12 minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those who approve the 6:12 minutes say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
Hi, this is Vincent.
David saying aye.
Chris saying aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, we've approved the 6:12 minutes. Now, sorry, I had a. All right, so the 6:19 minutes are a little little more complicated in the sense that I was the only TSC member there. We took no voting actions. But we did have a discussion on a number of items. We talked about release planning. The subcommittee, you know, the subcommittee NATO is reporting out in their own section. So you'll see under standing agenda section D more breakout for the discussion in that space, since that's where a lot of the current activity is going. We had the week before, we brought up proposals for two additional PTLs. One was Lejing for integration and test, and the other one is Maddie Hiltonen from AT&T for the XAP project. You know, we talked a little bit about PTL nominations. Tracy Van Brickle had a joint proposal with Martin. I think Martin's on today.
He's actually on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two or three calls at the moment, I think. But I did put the proposal on the wiki. And.
Right. We'll get to it.
Resume or biography, that's in LinkedIn. Okay.
Good, good. Just how do you pronounce his last name? I just wasn't. Okay. So I just wasn't, Tracy, I just wasn't sure how to pronounce his last name. Can you say
just it? Just call me Martin. So the last name is Skorupski.
Skorupski. Okay. So no problem. Thank you. All right. So Martin, and then we talked about that. There were a couple items here for the Linux Foundation. And then we kind of had an open discussion a little bit about the Tokyo meeting and what was going on, what had happened up to that event. So that's just the minutes from last week's meeting. I wanted to get people, you know, up to date with some of the discussions that were going on, and we'll continue those discussions today. Are there any questions about the 6:19 minutes? Okay, so I'll make a motion to accept the 6:19 minutes. Do we have a second?
I will second David here.
Thank you. I'll then call for a vote to approve the minutes. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
David saying aye.
Saying aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, thank you for approving those minutes. Let's go back up top to our current agenda. So, review of today's agenda. Does anyone have any agenda items they want to add for today's meeting that's not already on the list?
Hi, Jack David here. Yeah, I have basically two points. One is I was asked by Workgroup 6 to figure out alignment about the requirements. Basically, they looked at the points, the requirements for the infrastructure. And they kind of don't get enough information just from the epics defined there. So they would like to have a call with contributors of the code, basically.
group 6 on EPIC.
For infrastructure. Yeah, so it concerns basically, first one is the decision to use Acrino templates, so that I think falls to Ritvik, and the other two are basically about plan of Incipur and also of Lenovo with the acceleration API.
All right. So I added to the new agenda items the work group 6 EPIC descriptions for infrastructure. And you said, what was the other one?
And the second one is that I was notified by Wind River that the two contributions made by Inspur are basically taken out of their repository of Starlink X project. So the code is basically Wind River code.
Okay. Okay, so we'll
and the second point is more of for a discussion how to approach this and
right. Yeah. I'll just say discussion right now. I don't know if Wind River is two words or one word?
I'm actually not sure. I think it's one word.
Okay, so we can fix
it. Sorry to interrupt. It's two words.
Okay. No problem. All right. I know I'm adding things here, Lijing. I hope I'm not making it too hard on you.
No issues.
All right. Does anyone else have any items they want to add to the agenda? All right. Then let's get to the old business. Okay, so we're in section 5, action item A. Attrition from to provide David the ability to take polls is so what we talked about last week was that our Linux Foundation contact has changed so that it was Phil Robb. Now it's Trishan. Correct, you're on today?
Yes. Hi, nice to meet everyone on the, or virtually meet everyone on the call. And with regard to the polling, we've created a ticket, so they should have that set up this week.
Great. Okay. Good.
Yep. So yeah, I'll be taking over from Phil. So whatever you had was sending to Phil, you can send it to me. And my contact is on there.
Right. All right. So Trishan comes with experience on from several other projects. So he'll be able to help us and come up to speed. And you know, Trishan, welcome. We have some uniqueness in this project, but most of all, it's in startup phase. So obviously we have a lot of things to do and questions and to figure out the best way. And I appreciate your assistance.
No problem. Happy to help. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So once David gets the polls, then we can move back to the polls. That's action item B for a poll to select how we're naming our releases and see if we can find a name for the A release. Now, David, you list fish did we abandon the color option, or are we just gonna and just go with fish, or are we still trying to decide?
No, it will be like people can choose from both, and we will select the naming scheme that has most votes.
Okay. So
colored fish?
most fish have some color. Right. So the poll will more or less propose different naming conventions and release a name that you can vote on. And so this way we can add a little, a little detail to our release naming convention.
Yeah, and I will send it to the mailing list so that everyone is informed when the poll goes up.
All right. So, and if anyone has anything else other than fish and colors, please reach out to David. Okay. Action item C. I have the action item to send out the CLA for the ORAN license. Now, I've been hesitating to do that till we had a approved version because they may change. The plan going into last week was that the board was going to vote on it at their board meeting. It turned out that they discussed it. What I was informed is they discussed it and they wanted time for to review it with their teams, and they will conduct an email vote before July 10th. So I've been hesitant to share early versions only because it creates multiple copies floating out there if there are any changes. But it has been reviewed by the EC and approved to be, introduced at the board meeting, and it was introduced and discussed. So we're well down that path, but like anything, it's another incremental step, and we haven't crossed the line till they approve. All three kind of go together, the charter, the license, and the CLA. So separating them out is what I'm hesitating to do. Because you can't really use the CLA yet. Is there any comments or concerns? If someone wants it for legal review, they can reach out to me or Jin Ri and get a copy.
I think it's very fine, Jack, to wait that the CLA approved before sharing that. Question I have is, how will the CLA be enforced?
I
can speak to that. For those of you that don't recognize my voice, I'm Andrew Grimberg with the Release Engineering team. Garrett itself actually supports a CLA enforcement mechanism, and the CLA application that the Linux Foundation has developed links directly into Garrett. So once we have got CLA in a place where we're going to turn it on, we will actually configure Garrett such that somebody cannot contribute code at all unless they have signed the individual CLA or the corporate, or they're part of a particular corporate CLA. So they will have to be in one of those two classes of people, basically. But Garrett will not actually allow them to contribute code at all unless they've signed a CLA, and basically it will give an interface into the CLA system.
Now,
So that means that there will be the option of the corporate CLA. We have to...
Don't know if there's going to be a corporate CLA or not for this, but I assume there probably will be.
So that's a good question.
Pretty much all of our projects that do CLA have a corporate CLA of some sort.
Okay. I'll have to
I guess I talked to Scott about the corporate CLA compared to the individual ones that we've been discussing. All right.
Yeah, I think, Jack, that the part of the corporate option of the CLA was kind of incorporated in it, like that you could like a list of people under the corporation instead of listing only one person.
That's basically the way it works. So the difference between the corporate CLA and the individual CLA is that with the corporate CLA, there is somebody inside a particular corporation that has management rights over that CLA. And they can basically whitelist either the entire organization or a list of people that have rights to be able to operate in against a particular CLA. The individual CLA, on the other hand, would be literally an individual saying, I have rights to do this, and there is no corporation that I'm working for right now that would that requires me to sign a CLA.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, and the platform manages those two.
You can technically be in both classes of CLA, as long as you are in one of the classes of CLA, you pass the bar to be able to contribute code. Unfortunately, there is no way to say you can only be in one or the other.
No, that's okay. I'm more interested in that if, for example, for AT&T, if we have a, if we, you know, use the solution that you have allows me, you know, if I'm the assignee to go in and add people as part of the CLA management platform, it has that capability, or is it done in a different manner?
So there's a gateway to it for managers to be able to manage this. And as I said, you have the ability to basically whitelist everybody that is part of your organization, and that's done by email address. And the email address is the email address that they have on their LFID, right. Which unfortunately we can only have one email address there. So if you're going to go that route, then people have to have their LFID configured such that they're using their corporate email address. So there's that. The alternative is that you can always whitelist specific people, and you can whitelist by any email address with that setup.
Okay. All right.
At least that's my understanding on that part. I have not been in the management interface myself because I don't have those rights, believe it or not. So,
all right. Yeah. We'll work that out, and at least, you know, the TOC members will get it started and figured it out. Then we can explain to others. So that'll be a good activity that we'll try to get started this week. The next item is the fact that we have actually two different CLAs depending on repo. So is that going to
be that's not possible.
Okay, so.
So the system has, so we can define as many CLAs as we want to in the system. However, the system itself is going to basically say you either are part of, signed a CLA and you can contribute code, or you've not signed a CLA and you cannot contribute code, and it is an either or, and it is across the entire system.
Okay, the entire system.
The entire Garrett system.
Okay, so, you.
If we were in GitHub, it'd be the exact same thing. It would be across the entire GitHub org.
Okay, so we'll have to talk about that, what we need to do that more offline. That sounds like a lengthy conversation as to how we're going to address some of our unique situations on that side. But let's take that offline and we'll see where we're at. All right. Let's move on to Lijing, item D, send the request to email list for creating the new repos so that we're voted on. How are we with that, Lijing? Is that completed?
Yes. It's still outstanding. So far, I have heard back from three of the TOC members with positive votes. And so we're right at the 50%. I guess one more would push this over.
Okay.
So
I think everybody was probably busy. Right. Everyone
exactly. Yeah.
Last week. So we'll go ahead.
One of the missing.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
If I'm one of the people that haven't responded yet, I'm not sure if I already sent the email or not.
Okay, I'll check the thread and then reply to you offline, David. Thank you.
Yeah, ping me if I haven't responded yet, and I will do so.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, action item E, Ritwick. Put the slides that were reviewed. Go ahead.
I did post it. I posted the link on the wiki.
All right. So the links on the wiki for the requirements document are current, right?
It is current. We have been making updates lately. This is the slides you're talking about, right? Not the Word document.
Right. Yes, the slides you posted, you said, but you've also updated the document. It's just why we're there. Okay.
Yeah, we have updated document. I think the latest version now is on the 19th, but after the 19th, I have updated it further. Maybe I'll put one version up today. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now we get into some new items for discussion. So 2 weeks ago, I introduced two proposals from AT&T. We talked about them a little bit last week, but of course, not many of the TOC members were there. So wanted to, continue that discussion. And actually, I wanted to broaden it a little bit more to be clear. We're on this journey of, kind of getting this project kicked off. It's hard on the first project because you're trying to get organized, get people into particular roles, then learn those roles, get teams, contributing. We know that the first release is going to be a little rough around the edges. We're currently working on the epics, which we're documenting in a standalone document right now so that we can share. But the real goal is to get the epics into the JIRA so they could be tracked and then broken down and assigned user stories for the developers against those epics. Now, to do that, we need to put PTLs in place for the different projects. And so it's important that we start filling out the PTL roles, but we need people to step up and self-nominate themselves or in the different projects, right? We have 11 projects and one subcommittee right now is the plan for release A, unless we find something new we want to add as part of release A, following the ORAN plan. So I don't think we've gotten projects, though. We don't have the projects added yet, but the project, I think there's a ticket that Farheen put in to create the projects under the project tab, which is coming. So part of that role is filling out, like I said, the PTL roles. We have approved one PTL to date, which is for Nokia on the RIC, the near real time RIC, and I don't see Thoroff here on he was able to join this meeting. So he's the PTL that's been approved. He was out on vacation and just came back this week. I saw already that he's trying to organize the meetings around that particular project. So, now let's move on. I mean, so basically, we're going to vote to appoint PTLs for the first round of the project based on, who's making seed code contributions and taking a lead role, has some experience. Nokia obviously has contributed a bunch of seed code on the RIC and has, active participants, developers contributing. And so AT&T is proposing a couple here for areas that we've been heavily involved in up to this point. So the first one is Lejing, who's on the call today. He's been the main contact for Linux Foundation for the seed code and other activities. And so I proposed him for PTL nomination for the integration and test PTL. And so he would, he's done this role in the past for other as PTL for projects in ONAP. And he's been, running the relationship with Linux Foundation. So, so Lejing, why don't you just I introduced you a little bit, but why don't you just say, give yourself a little background.
Sure. Thanks, Jack. Yeah. My name is Lejing Ji. I've been working for AT&T. I joined AT&T as a researcher. For more recent years, I've been involved in software development and the open source efforts. Like Jack mentioned, the ONAP. I was a PTL for the DCAE project under ONAP for, I think, a little over 2 years, maybe just less than 2 years. I have some experience doing that, and ORAN is ORAN Open Source is a really exciting project. Not only it crosses my interest in software and my research background, which is in wireless communication. So really excited for this project, and hopefully that I could do my best helping out for the success of the project. Thanks.
So, there obviously the integration and test role here in this project is about, about pulling together and working with each of the projects and Linux Foundation on, the build processes, the tools.
Sorry, Jack, I think your voice is cutting out.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you're back. Thanks.
Okay. So the integration and test here in this project is focused on software integration test, pulling together and making sure each of the individual projects' codes are part of the build process, working with Linux Foundation on tooling and making things work, and then going through the process of delivering a complete package to a test group, organizing the test group for the software functionality to make sure the software works. Where the boundary ends in this project is that ORAN The software we then handed back to ORAN Alliance for, you know, further functionality testing on the RAN side. So we'll obviously, to test the software, you have some functionality you have to perform around RAN functionality, but we're not going to do extensive testing and finding that bound, that balance between what we do here and what we hand off to the ORAN Alliance is part of the journey for this particular sub-project. Is there anyone who has any questions? All right, so just wanted to be clear, you know, about, you know, some terms like end-to-end testing tend to get kind of overused. There's end-to-end testing in terms of software functionality, and then, you know, there's use, you know, RAN use case testing. So, but that's the focus. With that, I think it's the reason I'm bringing this forward is this is one of the key points that we need to get in place to get the tooling and things in as we start pulling software and generating software into the project. So with that, I'm going to make a motion to approve Lujing as ETL for integration and test PTL assignment. Does anyone have a, do I have a second?
Vincent, second.
Thank you, Vincent. All those in favor say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
David, aye.
Just saying aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay. So we've elected our second PTL. Thank you, Lujing, for taking it on. You know, I'll say this about all PTL roles. They're thankless jobs, but they're key to making open source projects work. And look forward to your contributions. Thank you, Lujing. All right.
Thank you for your trust.
The second one we proposed 2 weeks ago was Maddie to lead the XApp project. Remember, we have separated the near real-time RIC, you know, kind of platform or framework in as one project. That's where Thora from Nokia is leading. And then we have an XApp project that will deliver XApps that will run on that framework, so that we can focus on the value add. So now, what we need to do is talk about how we will. I mean, so we're proposing Mahdi. Why don't you introduce yourself? I think you're on the call today.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Jack. Like Lusheng, I'm a researcher at AT&T. I've been with AT&T almost 20 years soon. My prior experience with open source was mostly in the ONAP project. I was working on the OOF optimization framework and working with the Multibim team, not as a PTL, but kind of trying to get pieces to work together. For the RIC, I've been involved with the RIC project from the very beginning, from the conception. I've been working as a lead software architect from AT&T side for the co-create effort. While in the co-create effort, both the RIC platform and the XApps have been kind of done together. It turns out that the Scrum team that I'm the PO for is kind of taking the lead on two of the XApp open source XApps that we are working on right now and that are planned for the release A. So So I've been definitely working on the XApp side of things as well. And given that I've designed many pieces of the platform, I think I have a good understanding of what the platform can provide to the XApps. And my vision would be really to reach out to the community to get more people into writing XApps, because that's, I think, the XApps are the really the exciting part of the RIC.
Thanks, Marty. So, I mean, that's part of the reason that we've separated it out, is to allow, you know, different people to bring, you know, parallel functionality forward to in the XApp.
Jack, we lost your voice again.
Any better, let me know when you...
We're hearing you now.
Okay. So, I mean, the real reason that we wanted to break the X out is to, as Maddie said, enable a lot of different contributors. We see that some X apps may be proprietary, some X apps may be open source, and some X apps may be ORAN licensed. Obviously, we want to create a structure that allows the market to figure out what they want to do in that space. I think the initial efforts that where we're at on XApps is we'll introduce, you know, a few sample XApps in the A release to show people how they can be built, and, you know, and some basic functionality. Obviously, the XApps and the near real-time RIC depend heavily on work going on in ORAN around, you know, the E2 interface and the O1 and the A1 in some respects as well. So it will evolve over time. Anyone have questions on the basic, you know, on formatty or the basic approach that he's proposing for that project? Okay. With that, then I'll make a motion to appoint Maddie Hillotin to PTL lead for the XApp project. Do I have a second?
I will second, David.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye. Jack Murray saying aye.
David saying aye.
Vincent says aye.
Vishwa saying aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, so we've congratulations, Maddie. You've been accepted your appointment for your offer to lead the XApp project. So we're making progress. Now, the next item is really is for Tracy Van Brinkle and Martin are making a joint proposal for the non-real-time RIC. And so we'll go ahead and open it up. Tracy, are you do you want to talk, or does Martin want to start the discussion?
I think it should be Tracy. However, this is Martin. So we are proposing here for the non-real-time RIC as PTL myself. And the reason behind is that I'm already active in the ONAP and contributing code together with my team for the ONAP SDNR, and have here joined meetings together with Dan Timidy. And we see here a strong relationship between ONAP and the ORAN non-real-time RIC exercise. We have already all the code available in order to interface with ORAN young files. We will show this at the end of this week. So on Friday, there's a first ORAN proof of concept at WinLab Rutgers University, and there we can show that an open daylight cluster can interface with
Martin, I think we lost you.
So this is Tracy. I don't know if Martin's back yet. But just to provide a bit more context, I first met Martin in, I think it was 2016, and he was, I believe, consulting for Telefonica and leading the development. He was the technical leader of a wireless working group within the Open Networking Foundation. And I was deeply impressed by his ability to motivate a team of developers, bring about cooperation of all of the equipment vendors. And I think he would do a very good job as PTL for non-real-time RIC, but the proposal is actually the team, and some of the members are listed within the proposal that's on the ORAN wiki, with Martin as PTL because of his technical leadership.
So when you say team, you're talking about the PTL and committers.
And committers and contributors.
Right. Well, anyone can contribute to the project. So there's no need to approve contributors, right? These projects are...
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just...
Right. That's fine.
I'm not saying it would require approval, but that, you know, we have a team that's been working on this in this problem space, and we would basically, you know, come over and support the objectives for non-real-time RIC and associated use cases within ORAN software community.
Right.
And it's me, it's Deutsche Telekom, it's Telefonica, it's Orange, and it's several equipment vendors.
No, that's great. It's great when a community forms and comes and brings value. That's great. But my only point was that we don't need to vote on the contributors. And we hope that everybody looks to contribute to projects, and that as all projects are open, you know, for contributors who can bring, you know, their passion towards what they want to contribute on. And, you know, the committers are always a key part of making a project work. Approving several committers and a diverse group is important. We just, you know, just generally, we just because it was first time we're really talking about committers, we don't look for a super large set of committers on a project, right? They're typically, depending on the size of the project, somewhere between, you know, two and five committers is a good place to get started. You know, every contributor shouldn't be a committer. You know, once the project kind of grows beyond a small group. All right. Is there anything else from Martin or Tracy?
What is Martin's company?
This is High Street Technologies. We are located in Berlin.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Tracy, can you put the link in the chat for where you placed the information just so that everybody can find it easily?
Yes.
Thank you. So, because we brought this up really for the first time last week, and attendance was very low last week, and you know, and basically I was the only TOC member, I would like to give people call for a vote for next week, so that people have a time to look at, you know, the non-real time RIC is a larger group of functionality. I don't want to rush people, even if this is the first they're hearing about it. I'd like to at least make sure it gets introduced and give people at least a week to come up to speed and learn and look at the link and things. So what I'd like to do is bring it for a vote next week, and this will give the TOC members a chance to review and come back if they have any questions, and we'll bring it for a vote next week if that's okay. All right, so we've tabled it to next week. Thank you, Tracy and Martin.
Maybe one thing, sure. If you want to know what happens, we have a proof of concept and a first demo on Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern at WinLab Rutgers University. The link is also on the ORAN SC wiki page. So feel free to join that meeting, and then you will see what we have already achieved.
All right, and like I said, post something to the mail list to keep people informed about what's going on. So there's a TOC mail list, and then there's just a general list. So please post these activities to the mail list so that everyone gets fair notification so they can participate and join. All right. We're consumed, you know, we're approaching the end of the hour. So we have a number of items that we haven't gotten to yet. We had decided to extend the meetings to 2 hours for the next little while. I don't know if any of the TOC members are not able to stay for the beyond the, you know, into the second hour. Okay, if I didn't hear anything, then we'll continue. Then as a active meeting, not just a discussion. So if everyone's attending, we'll move on to the next action item. Okay. Scott Daniels was not able to commit his code. Chris Lott has an open ticket. Chris, are you on?
Yes, good morning. I think we'll have to ask. Scott sent out a note to this TOC list, but I think he didn't quite put the very clear request in, please vote on reauthorizing me. So if you all are willing to, someone's willing, I don't know if I'm allowed to make a motion, because I'm not a nominated representative, but I think that is what the LF release engineering team would like to see, is if the TOC here blesses it, then it slides through like butter.
Okay, so who is Scott Daniels, and why does he need to be reauthorized versus authorized.
Yes. Yes. Scott Daniels is a researcher in ATT Labs, and he's the key principal driving the RMR message passing library, which is the core of the RIC. And he was nominated as a committer, but through a series of, well, maybe misconfigurations on his part and others, the invitations never got to him, and he kind of let the window close on the grace period. And so now we're back to restarting the process.
Okay, so this is approving him as a committer for which project would this be under?
The RIC platform library called RMR.
Right,
that is a repository.
Right, so this is the RIC project. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Does anyone have any questions? So I'll make the motion that we approve Scott Daniels. We approve him as a committer. Do I have a second?
I will second David here.
Okay, all those in favor saying aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
David saying aye.
Vincent as well.
Joshua as well.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay. Thank you, Chris. I think that's, and I appreciate that everybody understands that there's some formality here in voting and getting people into the positions they need to make the projects functional.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. So, standing agenda items. Let's move on to those. The release manager. I'm going to switch to minimize that so people can see. You should be able to see the ORAN release schedule. We're currently on the 26th, so we're in week 24, which is subtasks identified and reviewed. We're behind, which is not unexpected at this point. We're really still working on, epics identified and user stories tasks identified and being reviewed. So we're one of our, I think we made a lot of progress last week in the Tokyo meeting. Like I said, the first cycle is going to be hard. Learning and getting people in place, particularly getting the PTLs in place so that we can work on JIRA items. There are a couple of things that I wanted to talk about here as part of this. One is one of the things that was discussed at the TOC meetings last week and with several of the ORAN working groups is how to improve the ties with the ORAN working groups. And we agreed that we would put a couple of review items on our ORAN software community schedule. So I'll be adding a new horizontal line to this calendar. Proposing and identify at least two review points for the ORAN working groups and a release to them at the end, and then we can look at identifying other ties that we may want to do in the overall plan. So I'll make some additions. Proposed additions to our work plan here and share them with the community, and we'll discuss them next week. Martin put up a link to the proposal from Martin in the chat for people who want to go there and get that information. So that's one of the items here. I'll be adding some information and propose some ties and some opportunities for those links to occur in our timeline, as well as some critical reviews and alignment with the ORAN working groups, so it's clear when and where those are going to occur. And then we'll discuss them and work it out over time, but I'll start with an initial proposal. All right. Next, the real issue is we're falling behind. One of the issues is really we approved the projects now. We need to approve the, get the JIRA structure working. We need PTLs to really create the JIRA structure for the different projects. We approved a few more today, but there's many still open. And so we need to close on those items. But one step to move forward is to, kind of at least approve a PTL to organize the requirements and software architecture committee so that they can put the EPICs under that project. So you can manage the JIRA EPICs and user stories in different manners. In a project, there's a couple different organizational patterns. One of the ones that I wanted to propose was if we created, focused on the requirements and software architecture and requirements subcommittee would focus on the EPICs, and then the projects would be assigned the user stories from them. If we follow that structure, then at least by approving someone as PTL for the software architecture and requirements subcommittee, we can start with the JIRA structure for that and get the EPICs in. And that would at least let us to progress. So I'll bring that up under new items further down, and we'll discuss that more there. But I think that's an observation from trying to stay on plan as close as possible. But we're falling behind because of trying to get the structure formed at the same time as starting a project. Any questions on the release plan and the items I've discussed? Okay. Report out from PTLs. So basically, this is a time where in that normal, when we get back to the hour, that in case the PTLs have an opportunity to raise issues like approving committers or changes or challenges they have with Linux Foundation that are blocking them, they have an opportunity to raise them. We haven't really got into the project phase yet. So we don't have much to discuss at that point yet. We're on to the report out of the subcommittee. Since we only have one subcommittee, I'll go to Ritwik Jana, who's currently organizing the software and requirements subcommittee for an update. Ritwik?
Basically we have provided a readout of the software release document last week at the Tokyo meeting. I think all the working groups have now looked at the document. We've got some good feedback from many folks. We've tried to incorporate some of those feedback as a living document in the wiki. We have two biweekly meetings, Tuesday and Thursday, where folks join and include EPICs. Yesterday there was Xiaohua and Gil from Wind River. They included an epic, and we continue to correct minor adjustments to the epic. As you can see, Thoraf has also uploaded some comments on the Rick epics. So we'll take care of that today. And then finally, I think we are just on standby to close out the release A document this week. I'm sort of putting a little bit of pressure on people just to make sure that all the epics are duly looked at and the feedback is provided to us by the end of this week. Some folks are still requesting a little bit of breather room for going into next week, so I'm trying to see how much of it we can finish up this week. If we can complete it by this Friday, then that is essentially your release A set. And then I'm hoping the Jira gets created soon. We can just enter them quickly. That's a quick update of what the current document stands today. Please take a look again at the document. If there are any gaps that you feel that needs to be modified, please let us know. We will take care of that. Okay.
Okay, any questions for Ritwik? Many of us were traveling or remotely on the calls. I think, it was, sounded like at least the sessions that I was remotely connected to sounded to be quite lively conversations, which is good. I think we ended in a good space. I think overall, the feedback I received from the EC through Hank and Kafka and Chi Lin were very positive. They were happy with that we're moving quickly. I think there was a lot of discussion about how best to align with the ORAN Alliance and working groups so that we don't, run in the wrong, in the wrong direction. As I've always said, it's kind of a push-pull. We run a little bit. We pull them a little right, they pull us a little left. That's what will keep us on track and kind of get the best result. So they were quite happy. The board meeting, at least the feedback that I got, was also very positive. They were happy with the progress. Like I said, they're reviewing the license agreement. And so, I don't want to paint too rosy of a picture, but I think everyone is working hard, and I think it's been a great collaboration effort trying to pull this together. It's always a unique experience, each one of these that come together and form based on the community. So I look forward to keep moving it forward and appreciate everyone's contribution. And right now, a lot of that's been focused through the software requirements committee, because that's really our main link to the ORAN Alliance and to the working groups. Anyone else have anything they want to add? All right. So that's, I think the big issue for the subcommittee then is figuring out how we proceed with a PTL for that group. Ritwik has been leading it, just as a lead individual. But to really move forward with the JIRA, we need to assign someone in that PTL role to manage the epics. So is there, this is kind of unusual because we're running out of time, but he's been in the role for several weeks, actually a couple months now, without really, taking on an official role. But is there anyone else who has someone who wants to step up to to make a proposal as PTL for that work, you know, requirements group, or should we, ask Ritwick to take that PTL role for the, for the release A, and so that we can move forward? Are there thoughts or interests out there? You know, I hesitate to keep putting, AT&T people into these roles, I guess, is part of my issue. I'm okay with it because he's been in this role, but I don't want people to think that I'm just pushing for, too many AT&T people in these roles. We're trying to get, a good balanced community, but in the sake of moving it forward, I'd just like to hear from the other TOC members. Any thoughts? How you think the requirements and architecture committee has been functioning, working? Are we on a good path? Should we do something different?
Hi, Jack. David here. I think we are pretty much on a good path. What we basically, I think, need to do generally from the requirements perspective is to kind of push our requirements back into the ORAN as a contributions if possible. Because currently we are running quite faster than the standardization part. And my feeling from the Tokyo was basically that I was quite often I was asked, guys, if you have something working in the open source community, please make a contribution and go back with it. This is not specifically for the requirements committee, but it kind of touches the current document for the design.
I agree. Good comments. And I think as we get more organized, there's opportunity, there's clearer roles and responsibilities, and easier to set up those relationships. But I think that's the interesting part of forming this new community, is also that relationship with the ORAN Alliance, where we're looking for companies and people to participate in both groups as well. So I agree. I think that's one of the things that we were asked also by the EC, I think, was to come back and for the RIC platform to make a proposal back to the working groups on where we are with both XApps and the XApp platform. I think it's finding the right balance of what the specification, to what level the specification should be authored, without getting into too much minute detail, so that the software teams can look for the best solution in each module, at the same time, working within the intent and guidelines of the ORAN Alliance and the specific work groups that are working in the areas that affect each of our projects. And they are quite different across the different projects. All right, so I guess that's the real issue. We'll talk about it more under new agenda items, but let's move on out of the subcommittees to new agenda items if no one has any other comments. All right. Item number 7, new agenda items. Working group 6 on EPIC descriptions for infrastructure.
Yeah, so basically response to the requirements document in the workgroup 6 was that like all three of these points are touching like are creating assumptions that weren't discussed in the workgroup 6 yet, and they kindly requested if we could organize a call where would be basically leads for the each of the contributors for the three requirements be present, and they could discuss like what we are actually planning to do with these three requirements. Because one is touching use of Acrino templates, the second one is touching the contribution from Incipr, and the last one is from Lenovo about the abstraction layer for the accelerators. And basically, like workgroup 6 doesn't have enough information to properly comment on the requirements, so they asked if we could organize it. And my suggestion would be to invite them to one of the requirement committee calls and just make sure that we have people from the contributing companies there that can like describe and explain the thinking behind the requirements.
Okay, so you listed three particular items. So did I get that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Ritwick, did you catch those three?
Yeah, so those three are correct. But you also mentioned in the call this morning that the Incipr one will be upgraded to just Wind River Epic, correct?
No. That's a different point. That's not the okay. Was not requested from six. That's different point.
Okay. Yeah. So when is the next WG six meeting?
I think it was yesterday. But actually, I think they kind of wanted the separate call or separate meeting because of usually full agenda on the meetings of six. So maybe if you can get in touch with KJ,
I'll do that.
He can point you to the, I would say, right timing, probably easier than me.
Right, yeah. And you might have to have more than one call since there are three different areas of discussions. You might not, you might not be able to get the right representation from each entity into that discussion.
Okay, so I can definitely help to arrange that call. Lenovo story is the one that I've heard from Lusheng, so that's the one, the hardware abstraction layer. I need the contact from Lenovo.
My contact from Lenovo was Li Tong, because he was also on the workgroup 6 meeting via Zoom.
Okay.
For Incipr, I'm actually not sure who is the contact for
them. I will get with Lusheng and get those contacts, and then we can I'll arrange a call. Yeah.
Do you have the contacts, Lusheng?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just want to make sure we can follow through. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss today, David?
Yeah, on this point, I think we are done. Thanks for solving it. And yeah, the second point is basically in a discussion with Wind River, came up that if you look at the code that is contributed in the Incipr repositories, I think there are two of them. The code is basically is taken from Starlink X project, which is under OpenStack Foundation, led by mainly Wind River, and the code is basically Wind River. To be honest, I'm not sure if I consider it like Incipr contribution if the code is basically Wind River based, and I would really like to know what is the target or what is the thinking of Incipr behind this contribution, and if they like plan to fork it, develop it further, or basically what's what's the plan?
Okay, is there anyone from INSPIR on the call? Okay, so that's part of the, this is always part of the challenge, trying to figure out how to properly police the activities. First and foremost, is the Wind River code in OpenStack, where it was pulled from, is that a license? You know, what license do they use there?
I haven't checked the license, but I think it's under Apache 2. So, okay. License-wise, it's absolutely okay to do to pull the code and put it into the rig repo, into the ORAN SE repositories. The question behind it from my side would be what they are planning to do with it, because they basically forked upstream project from Wind River, and there wasn't a clear presentation of the plan and thinking behind it.
Right. So I agree. I mean, that was the reason I asked for the first, because if we didn't have the proper license in place, then I would have to remove the code from the repo altogether, you know, just to deal with one legal aspect of.
I think that this is Apache. I will check it. If it is not Apache, I will let you know as soon as possible.
Okay. Second, you know, we need to, this is why we bring it in a C code, so that people can see and look at what's going on. Obviously, what you want to do is pull from upstream projects where it makes sense, so that you don't fork the code and maintain it if it's a complete reuse of a package or something else. I don't, you know, I obviously have not looked directly at the code. So this is really typically an issue that we've created an infrastructure project. We don't yet have a PTL responsible for the overall implementation. So that's typically where this level of detail or review would occur. It is certainly an issue that we have to discuss with INSPIR. There's no representative here. So we need to, you know, get the that sub project together, but without a PTL to help organize, we need to do that. Can one of the TOC members take the lead at organizing a call and discussion with INSPIR? I think usually Jin Ri's been interacting with INSPIR, but can someone take the lead at setting up a call with the other TOC members and INSPIR, and invite, you know, it's not intended to be a private meeting. It's just intended to be a longer discussion than 5 minutes at the TOC meeting.
There was a presentation from INSPIR in workgroup 8, I think, about their plan. I'm not sure like how much detailed it was. I was there only for a part of it. I can try to chase it down, and I will also speak with Jinri and try to organize it somehow.
That'd be great.
Maybe also if you can keep me in a loop, because like the plan for the repository basically like crosses with the requirement also. So maybe like if INSPIR plans to like present their plan of development of the repos to workgroup 6, it kind of like has an overlap with what we need to ask from the OSC perspective.
Right. Well, I think the and the bigger issue is, what's the strategy for the PTL in that project group, since there'll be several parallel options, you know, for infrastructure in that? How do we want to organize the PTL and responsibilities there, right? So it's kind of hard to pick one of the threads and give them oversight over parallel options. So yeah. I think this is a key issue for the discussion, and I appreciate you taking take the lead on that, kind of organize it, and you know, let's have some have a call and kind of talk with INSPIR first, and then we'll talk to Rin River, and then we have to figure out our strategy and how what we think you know, a PTL and a structure for that project makes the most sense.
Jack, this is Lu Shen. When they initially pushed this code, I did a brief review, and I on the Garrett reply process, I asked them what is the relationship between your project and the OpenStack Cyborg project. And here is INSPIR's response. They basically say this project is based on OpenStack Cyborg. It supported Intel QAT card, Xilinx FPGA card, and some functions about these cards. We plan to follow up the major functions from Cyborg and develop new functions for support more devices and make it suitable for all run. So it sounded like they want to extend the function of Cyborg. At that time, when they were loading the seed code, it seemed to me that their seed code is this particular directory holding codes that's copied from a particular version of the Cyborg project from OpenStack. But they also copied the original license header, I believe, which is also Apache 2. So there's also a question for the whole ORAN SC project, which is, if we are using an upstream project or we are forking an upstream project, what would be the proper procedure for that? What's the proper format, right? For example, do we want to put them into a separate folder, which is clearly marked with words such as external, and maintaining the original license claims? Is that a guideline for doing so? It's not only from the intention, but also from procedure perspective, what would be the proper way to do this kind of things?
I mean, I have to think about this before I can give an opinion, but, you know, I've seen a couple different approaches, but some of it has to do with the magnitude of what they're doing. And, you know, so I think this is part of the discussion that we have to have with them, that we've asked David to gather a little more discussion. I think really, without having a richer discussion with them and understanding what their plans and their real commitments are, it's hard to make a definitive decision at this time, unless someone else has some other perspective.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Xiaohua from Raven. Lucian, you talk about Cyborg. That one's come from the Lenovo C code, right?
Oh, okay. So that's not the Wind River. I'm sorry. My mistake.
That's not the Wind River. That Cyborg is OpenStack, one of the OpenStack projects. So the Cyborg is dedicated for the hardware accelerator. So I didn't do any investigation about the C code in the AAL, but I did some investigation about the code INSPIR upstream into the OSC. And that one is just a very, very small part of the starting X. It's a, one of the five major components, and it seems has no change there. So that's the reason.
Okay.
It is, yeah. And it's just
a sorry about that. My mistake. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. My mistake. That was for the Lenovo.
Yeah. And that part is called fault management. It's just and that part actually cannot work separately without the other other components, integrated together. Just for your information.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other questions or comments? These are clearly things that the TOC takes seriously. We have to, investigate it and get it resolved and make sure that we're moving forward in the best manner. And let's talk to Inspur and then Wind River and get that. And David's taking the lead. Okay. There is, I mentioned down below, and I'll add it now to, previously added to the new agenda, which is PTL for the software requirements and architecture subcommittee. That is delaying Jira Impact, Jira Epics. All right, so I wanted to discuss that a little bit. I do want to point out that Visual has left the meeting because of other requirements, so we still have three TOC members present, but this is more of a discussion about how we're going to resolve, how we want to move forward with this. Let me more succinctly state the case. To move forward with the epics in Jira, we need a PTL in place in the software requirements and architecture subcommittee to create valid Jira items and to have permission to create the project and manage the Jira. It's a Linux Foundation guideline that we need to put this in place. This is delaying the movement of epics forward, and will cascade down to user stories in the particular projects. So even though we have the issue with individual projects, the first blocking item is getting the epics in under the software requirements and architecture activity. So Ritwik Jana from AT&T has been acting in that role. The original plan was to, move this forward, create a document, and see how the community, formed around that requirements. We've had very good participation from a range of the different projects, but I'll say that we haven't really gotten anyone else to kind of step up into that role. And the question is, should we proceed with appointing Ritwik into that role so that we can get the Jira items in place for this release? Is there a different candidate that wants to step up into that role And how do you want to proceed since this is a blocking item for, and, you know, kind of increasing our, us falling behind on our project timeline and affecting things. So I don't know if any of the other TOC members have any thoughts or opinions.
Well, in the absence of any other candidates, and assuming Ludwig is happy to manage that, then looks like one option.
Okay. You know, we can always, you know, a retirement a candidate can always withdraw their, you know, or retire from their role. At a time in the future, you know, even if we wanted, if we decide that we want to do it differently going into the B release, I'll be open to that. So, you know, I won't make a proposal today, but I'll send something, you know, through email. Trying to be just simply because of the delays associated with getting the Jira set up, I'll send out an email proposal to the TOC members for them to vote. Because I want everyone to, I'll give some background, want everyone to talk about this. This is make sure people are comfortable with that role. It's a little different than the projects. And, you know, this has been operational now for, you know, for a significant period of time. All right. Let's, that kind of covers the topics there. Does anyone else? So actually I'll go to open discussion. Does anyone else have any items that they want to raise? Okay, does anyone have any planning items for next week's meeting that they'd like to see us add, change, or do differently? I think the challenge now for the TOC members really is to recruit and fill out, you know, a PTL and our committers for the different projects. I will say that there are, you know, there's two projects, particularly OEM and documentation, which are both an opportunity and a challenge. You know, finding people who really are interested in those aspects of the project, it's a lot of work. It's not real high profile, but it's really critical. People can't use any of the software unless there's reasonable documentation on how it all works. I have people who can help, but I'm really looking for, you know, a company to step up into either of those roles. It's a good way to get started as a PTL or as a company who wants to get, you know, kind of break into contributing more to an open source project. These are good places where the there's plenty of work, but it's not as critical as some of the other projects in terms of complexity or other things. So let's, I do hope that, you know, there are even opportunities for a service provider to step up with a candidate. It's not just a vendor in these spaces, because we tend to be the customers more for OEM and for the documentation. Not the only customers, but these are opportunities for other people to step up or get someone from your organizations or companies to step up into those roles. Like I said, there's, I think, plenty of people around to help. It's just, so we need somebody who's going to organize the activity. And I, like I said, I would offer help both personally and from my team if it's new to someone and how to work through it and, you know, what are the needs and how it works. So please consider, we really need to fill out all the different projects for this to be successful. The other one I'll mention is the PTL for the, you know, we have the CU, the DU, and the RU. The RU is not a very, you know, is not a project that's going to generate any code in, you know, in release A. You know, its actual, you know, open source software in the future is, you know, one of the things that needs some discussion, but there certainly is documentation and should we need someone to kind of represent that module in discussions. That's another one where someone can take a role and kind of help carve out what the RU means in the open source community, other than just, you know, the interface back into the system. But that's where somebody with another opportunity for someone to step up that no one has really expressed interest up to now. And it's, you know, at least in the short term, it's not a lot of work, but it is important to have someone represent each of the modules in discussions. All right, I think I've, anything else from anyone?
Jack, the infrastructure PTL is also quite important because that's something I don't know who is willing to stand up for that one.
Well, that's where I discussed a little earlier. We're gonna have, David's gonna have that discussion. We're going to talk to Inspur in Wind River. We need to talk a little bit more about that. But also, I mentioned earlier, that's a bit of a complicated PTL role that I want the TOC members to think about. Because if you're going to really organize several competing options, is it right to hand the PTL over to one of those options? Or there should be a slightly more neutral oversight so that each of the options gets properly represented, you know, in that work. So I asked the TOC members to think about that some, and so that we can discuss it.
Okay, great.
The topic on the email list to talk about that a little bit more. Yes, everyone in the projects is important, each in its own way. So that's part of the challenge. Anything else? All I can say is thank you for joining. Please don't hesitate to bring topics up or, you know, comment on things. I want to remind people, anyone can bring a proposal. Anyone can bring a motion to the floor. It's, you know, yes, it's the TOC meeting, but within the structure, it's really the interface to the community that's our role, and that's what this meeting is about. So please don't hesitate to, you know, bring topics, bring your comments. So when I ask for comments, I don't only mean the TOC members. I mean, anyone can make brief statements. It's only when we come to voting that it's restricted to the TOC. So just encouraging people to participate, that's what will make us most successful. All right, with that, I'll close the meeting out. Thank everyone for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. I know it's the, you know, it's a few days before a holiday in the U.S. It might be a little thin there, but we will have a meeting and try to conduct business. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.